Well, as you know, Pastor Tim and his family are in Thailand. They left on Wednesday, and I understand Pastor Vu had a chance to talk to them after they arrived, but we don't have an update yet from them. So hopefully in the next week or so, we'll hear what's happening in Thailand. But last week, Pastor Tim began the series of message going through the book of Philippians. And there's a lot of themes in the book of Philippians, but we're looking at particularly what we can learn about joyful relationships, that God's desire is for us to have joyful relationships. And last week we began by seeing that Paul had this joy in his relationship with the Philippians, that he really delighted in them. They had the type of relationship where he just looked forward to seeing them. And that laid the groundwork for what we're going to talk about this week, which has to do finding joyful relationships with people we would normally not relate to. And, you know, one of the things about joy, there's lots of different kinds of things that can bring us joy. A good meal, you know, can be joyful, nice music. I think some of us, when the sun finally came out and it got warm, like, it made us a little bit happier. And there's those types of things. But, you know, there's the deepest joy is the joy of relationship. In fact, we know that the Bible tells us that having a relationship with God is joyful. And I just want to give a couple of scriptures before we get into the text in Philippians to remind us about that. You know, Psalm 16:11 says this: "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That's what it's really like to know God, is to be filled with joy, that God is all full of joy, and when we get to know him, we enter into his joy. You know, at the end in Matthew, when we are invited to be with God, he says, "Enter into your master's joy." That's what the invitation is, to come into a joyful relationship with God. And Jesus expressed it like this in John 15 when he said, when he was talking about how to have a relationship with him, and he said, "I've told you these things that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full." So a relationship with God is about joy. And then when our relationships are centered in God, which is the key here. If we can get relationships that are centered in God, who is full of joy, then we also have joy in our relationships. So let's pray before we look at the next text in Philippians to see how we can enter more into these joyful relationships. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful, that when you energize it by your Holy Spirit, just as when you wrote it through the pen of Paul, and you write it on our hearts, that we become alive to you. And so would you do that today? Send your spirit to take your word and breathe life into us so that we might live for you and bring you glory, and that all the nations might believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the text we're looking at today is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 19. And again, you want to remember that Paul is writing this while he's in prison. Probably in the Roman prison, although there's not a complete agreement on that. But from my reading, I understand he's in the Roman prison. So let's go ahead and read verses 12 through 19. And I like to read the word together. So if you can read aloud with me so you can be active, let's begin. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So here's the key thought for us to consider today, that God places us in situations that will allow us to build relationships for the advance of the gospel. Paul begins in verse 12 by saying, I want you to know. Now, the situation is that he's been in prison. The Philippians care about Paul. There was no email. There was no getting on the internet to check on Paul's blog. They had to send someone to see how Paul was doing. And so they send this guy with a gift because they care so much and they want to get a report about how Paul is doing. And so when the guy comes, Paul writes a letter back to the Philippians to tell them how he's doing. And this is what he's saying. I want you to know, and he could have talked about, I want you to know how bad the food is. You know, I want you to know how bad the company is. I want you to know how my health is. You know, it's kind of like some of us, if our mothers don't hear from us for a little while and they call and they say, Richard, how are you doing? You know, are you eating okay? Are you sleeping enough? Do you have friends? You know, the moms will wonder how our life is doing and you know, that's what they're concerned about. And maybe the Philippians wanted to know those types of things about Paul. Like, Paul, how's it going? And Paul's response, I want you to know that my situation, being here in prison, all the difficulties that I've been going through, the fact that I've been stuck in this prison, I want you to know I'm doing okay. Really, I'm doing really well in this prison because I want you to know that God is at work. He is doing something through me being in prison. In fact, I'm really happy. I'm rejoicing. That's not usually the type of letter you get from someone in prison. But Paul was that type of guy because he realized that in his imprisonment that God was still at work. And there are three ways that God works in these types of difficult situations. And Paul is putting his focus on one of those three things. One of the other ways that can work, if in James chapter 1 it says, you know, brothers, sisters, consider it pure joy when you suffer trials of many kinds, because you know that the trials are producing faith, a purified faith. They're producing the character of Christ in you, that you're growing in the way that you want to be shaped by these circumstances. God is using those circumstances to shape your life to become more like Christ. That is great to know. That brings us joy, that even in difficulties, God is working in us. But Paul is putting the focus on the other part, that God is working through him in the difficulties. And so that is why Paul is able to rejoice. And he says this, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul sees his imprisonment for the advance of the gospel. Okay, now, I was thinking about Paul's attitude and why he was rejoicing in prison. And I just want to contrast that with what people usually think about joy. And so I just want to play a little clip from one of those most popular songs that people have liked. It's been translated into lots of languages. People love this song. Let's just give a little contrast here culturally. Let's play this clip from mom. Now she's here, you can take a break. Right? Yeah, I'm happy. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Climb along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Climb along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Climb along if she's here. Okay, that's good. Right. Okay, you like that song? I mean, that's a fun song. I'm not going to trash that song except to say that, you know, I don't think Paul felt like a room without a roof, you know. I don't think that was what he said. I don't think Paul's going to say, well, you know, happiness is just what I feel because of being happy. It's kind of, that's a fun song, but it lacks kind of substance. You understand? It's not like really deep. Now, sometimes we can have fun with stuff like that. It's okay. But really, you take this guy who's singing the song and put him in prison and see if he sings the song. I'm happy, you know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know what his relationship with Jesus is, but I just think, you know, Paul's singing in prison, it was a different type of song. It was songs of praise to God. It was songs rooted in the joy that he had in knowing God and knowing that God was at work. So, yeah, sing songs like this, but let's go a lot deeper. Let's learn from Paul how we can have a happiness when we are in prison. So Paul's happiness, Paul's joy, was his understanding that God was so big, God was so great, God was so powerful, God was so amazing, that God was still accomplishing his purpose even when Paul was in prison. That God's purpose is always going forth. And that he had joy in knowing that the gospel was going forth. Now, let me ask you, how much joy do you have in your life from the advancement of the gospel? Like, how much does your heart get really excited to know that God would want to use you to advance the gospel? You know, we can get happy about a lot of things, but there's something we need to learn from Paul here, that he understood something about the purpose of God so clearly. He understood that when there is a person who comes to Christ, there is a party in heaven, that there is so much rejoicing, the angels are dancing, and he shares in that joy. How much joy do we have in the advancement of the gospel? You know, we prayed for Somalia today. You know, there are very few believers in Somalia. You know, if we would see that God could use us in some way, that the gospel would go further in Somalia, there would be so much joy in that if we're in touch with God, because God loves the Somali people. So Paul said this about his life. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, Paul felt like his time in prison was a good time. It was a successful time. It was a joyful time for Paul to be in prison. Now get that. Paul's saying, I am joyful in prison. Let me try and help you understand this a little bit. Let's say you like golf. I don't know if there's any golfers here, but let's say you play 18 holes of golf and you get together with your friends and you go out and play, and it is the worst game of golf you ever play. You double bogey every hole. For those of you who aren't golfers, that means you get a really high score. You can't get the ball in the hole very quickly. And let's say you hit the ball into the water 3 times. You hit the ball into the woods and you can't find the ball. You break your club, your best club, when you're swinging, and you get done and someone says, how did you enjoy your game of golf? And you say, it was really great. I said, what do you mean? Well, my goal was to spend time with my friends. The golf was secondary. I just wanted to be with my friends, and we had a great time sharing. I really enjoyed my game of golf. You see, it depends what your goal is. If your goal is to win the game of golf, you're going to be really unhappy. But if your goal is your friendships with the people you're with, you can really be happy, even if you play a bad game of golf. You know, sometimes when I go to China, I visit friends. I remember one week I was with my friends for a week in Kunming. And at the end of the week, they said to me, oh, do you want to see something in Kunming? You know, do you want to do some sightseeing? And so like the last day now if my goal in going to China was I wanted to see Kunming, I would have been very unhappy. Like, okay, about time, you know, I've been here a week. Now we're going to finally get to see something? No. I was really happy because my goal was to be with them and to spend time with them. And we had lots of good time together. And it wasn't about seeing the city of Kunming. You know, Kunming's a nice city. It's a beautiful city. All the Chinese people tell you it's a beautiful place. But the people were more beautiful. And so my goal, I was happy because of the relationship. That was the goal, and the goal was obtained. Imagine Jesus. You know, there's a beautiful story in John chapter 4 where Jesus meets this woman at the well. And the story begins where Jesus says, could you give me something to drink? Now, it's interesting because if you go through that story, the woman eventually leaves her jar at the well and goes back to the town, and it appears like Jesus never gets a drink of water. Now, if Jesus' real goal was to get a drink of water, he would have been really unhappy. But his goal wasn't really the drink of water. I mean, yeah, he needed something to drink, but his goal was he wanted to give the woman something. He wanted to give her water. He wanted to share his life with her. And so when the woman's heart opened and she went back and she began to share with the Samaritan village who Jesus was, he had a lot of joy. So Paul, he's in prison, but his goal is the advancement of the gospel. And when he sees that happening, he's like, yeah, I'm happy here. So we need to have the right goal in our life to be able to be happy in the situations when they are difficult. Now, why does Paul know that the gospel is advancing? What is happening when he's in prison? I mean, this is an interesting way that God uses Paul. We see that God is advancing the gospel through the relationships that he built with the soldiers that were chained to him. This we find in verse 13. Paul says that as a result of him being in prison, that the guards who are chained to him, because the practice in the Roman prison was that he'd have 24-hour guard. Probably every 6 hours, the soldiers would chain. They'd have a short chain that they'd be chained to Paul so Paul could not get away. And so constantly, Paul had these guards chained to him. Now, you could say that either Paul was chained to the guard or the guard was chained to Paul. You know what the difference is? The difference is if Paul is chained to the guard, then he's kind of like the victim, kind of like, you know, I can't get away from you. But actually, it was the other way. The guard could not get away from Paul. Because when the guard was there, Paul was free to still have his friends come and visit. And so this guard would have to hear him, what the conversations were about. They'd hear Paul encouraging his friends. They'd hear Paul enter into prayer. Maybe when Paul was praying, he'd be praying for the Roman guard. He'd hear what Paul was talking about, what was on his heart. I mean, this guard was being influenced by what Paul was sharing. Maybe then when the friends weren't there, Paul would start talking to the guard. Let me tell you my story. Because the guard would say, why are you here? And then Paul would say, well, I'm not here because I did any crime. I'm here because of what of Jesus Christ. And the guy would say, who's Jesus Christ? And then Paul would begin to tell him, you know, 6 hours. Wow. Paul would probably have a lot to say in 6 hours to these guys. Then a new guard would come and Paul would start again. And through this process of guard after guard being chained to Paul, and the guards would go back and say, hey, what about this guy, Paul? This guy is so patient. You know, these other prisoners, they're so unhappy. This guy is so happy. What is about this guy? And then they talk, and you know, and the influence of Paul, and some of those guards began to know Christ. And then they would go, and later on in the book of Philippians, Paul says that some of these guards even were in Caesar's household. That meant that Paul, even before he stood before Caesar, that the gospel was going all the way into the government of Rome. It was infiltrating through these soldiers who were coming to watch Paul. And Paul could see this happening. It's like really, really cool. That Paul's goal is that the gospel would get throughout Rome. And he's in prison, but the gospel is still going throughout Rome. Now that is Paul recognizing that he could be faithful, he could be happy wherever God had him, and he could do God's work there. Now the question is, does this seem super spiritual to you? When you read a story like this about someone in prison who is so joyful and who is sharing the gospel in that situation, do you think, yeah, that's the Apostle Paul, but you know me, I don't think I could do that. Now we need to confront the fact that sometimes people do that with the life of Christ. They say, oh, it was okay for Jesus, you know, he was a perfect man. You know, I can't live like that. And then we get the Apostle Paul and say, well, but the Apostle Paul, you know, he was an exceptional man. I can't live like that. Listen, God wants us to understand that this is the normal Christian life. Now, the normal Christian life is a supernatural life. It isn't natural to be like this. This is not the way we respond when we live by our own strength. It's not the way we have our own way of thinking about life. It is when God comes in power in our life that we can live like Paul. And God wants us to live like this. Now, I was touched recently, just in the past week, some of you may have been aware of a featured story in the news. There was a man named Anthony Ray Hinton, who 1 week ago was released from prison in the United States. And he had been in prison for 30 years. He was unjustly accused of a murder. He was on death row for 30 years for a crime he did not commit. The really sad part about his story is that when he was on trial, he had an airtight alibi, but they still convicted him. And they convicted him on the basis of the evidence of a gun that they said would belong to him. And all they needed to do to prove his innocence was what's called a ballistics test. They just needed to shoot the gun and compare it to the bullet that killed the guy, and it would have shown that he was innocent. But the state that he was in, the state of Alabama, refused to do the test on the gun. And so for 30 years, this guy stayed in prison. Now, put yourself in this guy's place. You know you didn't commit the crime. You know that it's simple for you to get out of prison if they will only test the gun. 30 years of his life he spent in prison. Now, this guy was a Christian. And they interviewed him when he came out of prison. And I heard the interview, and I thought, this is the Christian life. I just want to play you a little clip from the interview they did by the BBC about asking him questions. And you'll listen, because they're going to ask him about his relationships in the prison. They're going to ask him about whether he's bitter. They're going to ask him about what his goal is in life. So just listen. This is Ray Hinton just coming out of prison after 30 years. And this is the picture.
Ray Hinton, did you at any stage, you were on death row for what, 28 years, did you think though at some stage that you would be executed?
No, I didn't. And the reason I didn't think that I would be executed is because I never did accept the death penalty from the judge. You have to accept something in order for someone to take something from you. So I kept my faith in God. I didn't think the God that I serve would let me die for something that I didn't do.
You must feel so bitter about what happened.
I don't feel bitter. I don't hate anyone. I'm going to pray for those men that lied on me tonight, just as I have for the last 30 years. Because what I did 30 years, I didn't let them take my joy. And if I start hating now, then they is still winning. I refuse to give them what I have, and that's my joy. So that's what kept me alive, just being happy, trying to make other people happy. And although I was on death row, there was prison guard walked around, they needed to something to smile about as well. And if I made their life a little happier, then I think being on death row was worth it. But I would not let anybody take my joy from me.
What will...
Okay, we're going to play one more segment here.
You now, what is it that you want to do? You are free. You have the rest of your life. When you think about what your dreams are now, what are they?
To just try to continue to live within my own means, to be happy, to try to bring joy to someone else. I had the pleasure of going to a nursing home last Saturday, and to walk around in a nursing home and be able to pray for other people gave me all the joy in the world. So I just want to live a good, fruitful life the rest of my life and do whatever I need to do to be safe, to do whatever I need to do to help my neighbors, and just be happy.
Okay, wow. That's the Christian life. That guy knew God. He knew something about the purpose of God. Did you hear him say, it was worth it to be on death row for 30 years if I could influence the guards in that prison? Man, I don't know if I'm there, but I want to be there. And I want us to get there together, to have that joy in realizing that we can serve wherever we're at. and that God could use us to advance the gospel wherever he places us. I think about my friend Yasser. I have his picture here too, standing with a man who was a persecutor of Christians in Sudan. Yasser returned to the Sudan in order to serve God, but when God began to speak to him, he came to the United States as a refugee. And he fled his country with the possibility of being put in prison or executed because of his faith and because of his not serving in the army. And so he had no intention of going back to the Sudan. But when God began to speak to him about going back, and we began to pray about that together, he said to me, Rich, I believe God wants me to go back, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of going to prison. And I don't know if I can do it. You know, it's interesting. What happened to Yasser was he went on another trip when he was thinking about this, and he went to Cuba. And in Cuba, he ended up in jail. He hadn't done anything wrong. Really strange situation where someone robbed him and he reported it to the police and they put him in jail. And so he was in this jail and he didn't know when he would get out of this jail. And we didn't know how we could help get him out of the jail. And eventually he did get out and he came back to Columbus. And I asked him, well, Yasser, what'd you do when you were in jail? He said, I prayed for the jailers. And I shared Christ with the other people that were in the jail. And I prayed and I thanked God. I said, Yasser, do you realize that God in his creative way has shown you that you don't need to be afraid of prison, that God would be with you in the prison? And so that gave him strength to be able to return to the Sudan. But you see, it is possible. It is the way that God wants us to live, to see how he can use us even if we are in prison. Now, most of us will not end up in a physical prison like Paul did or Ray Hinton. Most of us are not going to end up in jail or prison. That's good. I don't think that's the primary thing that God would have all of us do. But there are many other prisons in life that we can be put into, prisons where we are tied together in situations that are, you know, ones that maybe are not so comfortable for us. Now, our attitude when we're in those situations does have to think, we have to think about what Paul's attitude was about the joy for the furtherance of the gospel. On one of my trips to China, there was a guy who came to see me, and he said these words to me. I wrote them down. I feel like I'm in prison being married to my wife. And I looked at this guy and I said to him, well, brother, I got good news for you. The Bible tells us what we should do when we're in prison. I said, first of all, the Bible teaches us that we should pray and we should praise God when we're in prison. Are you singing songs to God? I said, secondly, God teaches us that when we're in prison, we should serve those who are around us. Are you serving your wife? I said, third, when we're in prison, we should be looking for how we could advance the gospel. Are you advancing the gospel? I said, actually, brother, the problem with you is not that you are chained to your wife. The problem is you are chained to your bitterness in your heart. And unless you repent, you'll never get out of that prison. He was shocked. He wanted me to sympathize with him. He wanted me to just tell me how bad his wife was and how miserable it was living with her, and that I would maybe even give him the encouragement, well, get out of that prison. You know, if Paul's goal was to get out of this prison, you know, God can deliver him out of the prison. He says, I'm confident that God is working and he's even going to work for my deliverance, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is for me to recognize what God is doing while I'm in the prison. And the fact is, for some of us, we're chained in situations that our primary goal is to get out of that situation, when God's primary goal is to use us in the situation. And we need to get that perspective, how to have joy in the situation. If you find yourself in a job where you are chained to that job, or that job is chained to you. And you don't like it either because of your boss or because of your coworkers or because of something else. And then one of the things God wants to ask you is, you know, can you further the gospel there? Can you be the type of person on your job? Can you love your coworkers? Can you serve your boss? Can you be the type of person that's happy in that situation, that as a result of that, the gospel will be furthered? So, wow, that's really hard. It was hard for Paul, but he had connection with God. We need to get connected to God all the time, who is the source of our joy. Okay, let's talk about the second point. So the first point is, Paul saw God at work through his imprisonment by him being able to share Christ with the prison guards, and as a result of that, the gospel went out. The second thing is that Paul saw God at work in his imprisonment to advance the gospel through God using his example while he was in the prison, that resulted in the other people outside of the prison getting more bold to share the gospel. Now, why did that happen? That happened because when Paul went into the prison, the people outside who were really worried about going to prison, because if this happened to Paul, maybe it could happen to them too. But when Paul showed, I'm not afraid of being in prison. Hey, God is still working in me in prison. I'm still a joyful man in prison. And I'm fearless in this prison. They said, man, if he can be like that in the prison, and we're outside of the prison, why are we hesitating? Let's do it. And so Paul's example is like, yeah, these guys said, yeah, we should do it. We should preach the gospel. If prison is the worst thing and Paul's happy in prison, we should preach the gospel. You know, one of the stories that is often told about the advance of the gospel in the missions work to other nations is the story of the five people who were martyred in Ecuador. The most famous of those was a man by the name of Jim Elliot. But Nate Saint was there, and there was other men who went to a particular group in Ecuador to share the gospel. And unfortunately, before they could share the gospel, all five of them were killed. Now, one thing you could say is, you know, unlike Paul just being in the prison, these guys were killed. So that might make it less likely that people want to become missionaries. But actually, the opposite occurred. There was so much outpouring of interest and support, and more people signed up to go into missions as a result of the death of these five guys. People were emboldened in their faith to say, if these guys were not afraid of death, if these guys were willing to offer their lives in service to God, should we not do the same thing? And that's what's happening in this situation with Paul. As a result of what Paul does, the other guys say, let's go all out for God. And let's share the gospel. So Paul's life was being influenced both by sharing with the guards and by the example that he was giving to the believers that are outside of the jail. If Paul was mainly concerned about himself, he would not be happy. But since Paul is primarily concerned about the advancement of the gospel, he's really rejoicing when he hears this news. And Paul is so wonderful that he's happy even when he finds out that some of the guys who are preaching are doing it to take advantage of Paul's situation. That is, they were kind of like saying, well, Paul's in prison, so now we get the opportunity to step up. They were jealous of Paul's ministry. Maybe they thought Paul, you know, was too important, and now they want to be important, and they start preaching. Now, they're not preaching the wrong message. That's not what Paul is saying. They are preaching the gospel. They're sharing about Jesus. And as a result of their sharing about Jesus, people are coming to know Jesus. It's just that they're like despising Paul in the process. Like, okay, Paul's in prison. Forget about him, you know. Maybe they said some bad things about Paul. Maybe they said that Paul was in prison because of his lack of faith, or I don't know what they would have said. Something to trouble Paul. But when Paul hears the news that more guys are out there preaching the gospel and more people are coming to Christ, he says, what does it matter if they're, you know, trying to make trouble for me? As long as the gospel is going out, I'm happy. Wow, that's a hard one. You know, we would get so caught up on the personal offense But Paul isn't about himself. So we know that one of the keys to having joyful relationships is not to be centered on ourselves, but to be centered on God and to be centered on his purpose, which is the advancement of the gospel. So let me ask you this key question. Who is chained to you? Who is it? Who is God chaining to your life for the advancement of the gospel? Who is it that God is putting close enough to you in a way that, you know, you can't get away from them very easily? Who is it that God has close to you? What coworker, what person do you regularly are linked with? And I think what God is going to impress on us through this story is the fact that God has placed them there for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, we know there's no guarantee. I don't know that all the prison guards became followers of Jesus. I don't know if it was just a few key ones, but Paul saw the opportunity to make Christ known there. And the fact is, the people who are closest to us, that God links us together with, those are the people through whom our lives are to see the gospel. So who is it? Now, the question is, do you have the attitude of Paul? Do you want them to know the gospel? Is that in your heart? Is it kind of like the passion to see the gospel advance? Now, I'm not telling you a particular style. I'm not telling you to be obnoxious. I'm not suggesting to you, how to do it. But the first part is to be the heart to do it. If we're going to have joy-filled relationships with those who are not in the church, with those that are not brothers and sisters, with those that are in the world, we're going to be relating to people who have different lifestyles, different values. I mean, those Roman guards, they were a tough group. And they would not have been necessarily the easiest people to just relate to as friends. But Paul was able to be friends with them. And so we need to learn how to be friends with people who are in very different life situations, people who have a different view of life, people who are against Christ even. And that by the way we are patient, by the way we love, by the words that we share, by the way we pray for them, that God would work to advance the gospel. Well, you want to be like the Apostle Paul? You want to have joy in advancing the gospel? You want to have joy if in difficult circumstances? I believe God wants us to be learning this lesson together. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we know that the gospel is the good news of salvation.